Welcome to the Redhead Reveal Podcast. I'm Jen Pinkerton, your Redhead host, a psychotherapist, writer, speaker, the private practice owner of Pinkerton Psychotherapy, and a connection expert. I help people reveal their connectedness within their relationships and sexuality, understanding root causes of beliefs and behaviors that hold them back from success, and assist them to returning to the person that they are born to be before they were limited by trauma, societal or social concerns, or attachment wounds. Redhead Reveal is here to share concerns and questions, provide interviews with thought leaders and friends, and to hold space to discuss life struggles and encourage vulnerability, authenticity, growth, and self-awareness. Welcome, my friend, Rania Mancarius. Did I pronounce that properly at the end?
I want
to make sure.
Yeah.
Because I just refer to you as Rania. Yes. And I'm so excited to have you today. Of course, I want to talk about this amazing book, The Online World, for our listeners and viewers out here. What do you think you know that you don't, and what you don't know? I read that a while back when it first came out, and it was so really impactful for me. So much of what I already knew to see cemented in a different way. And then the things I did not know about some really statistics that I wasn't aware of and some really deeper dive than I knew about. I felt like it was really compelling. And I know so many people get so much value out of that.
I'm so glad because, you know, the online space is it's interesting. Every single one of us is trying to navigate life around it, especially for our children. But also, we're a different generation. We didn't grow up in this space, so we don't fully understand it.
Yes.
We really don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
But it's there.
Exactly.
And we can't parent around it. People say, well, I'll delay technology. You can't delay technology. So I wanted to create a resource that kind of, you know, turned the gray into black and white, brought everybody down to the same level, gave tools parents would understand and kids would buy into, which is why some of them are odd. Some of my tools are really odd, but they're for kids and kids get it. And that's what mattered to me.
That's what works. And, you know, we'll go and do a little bit of a dive into the book, but I want to backtrack and make sure everybody understands this amazing, you know, history you've had of what you do and what you give back to us. You know, CEO of Crime Stoppers. I mean, that's amazing. What an unbelievable organization. And I feel like every time I see it, right and left, there's something you're being recognized for, something you've done, and it's so much of an impact you've brought, you know, to Crime Stoppers and to the whole idea of the what we're experiencing with sex trafficking and grooming and all those things. And then the internet standpoint and cyberbullying. I feel like the list is endless. But I do want to touch on some specific things on your bio that I was just so impressed with that I want to make sure people know about. You know, not only all this what you've done with Crime Stoppers, but the contributor you are to so many other platforms. Some of it I didn't even know about. All these different things you write about and do and speak with, I thought was really, really huge. And the podcast itself, the Balanced Voice podcast that you have, and some of your amazing guests that you've had come on there and support and really share their insight. Also, all the honors that you've won. I mean, I was reading this and I thought, I am so impressed with my friend. And also, gosh, I mean, we shared this some of the same background. I didn't even know you had a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. So that's amazing.
Well,
and a doctor of jurisprudence. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I'm not sure that I could properly even do it justice with this amazing background and history you've had. You know,
I'm an academic at heart. And actually, after law school, I told my parents, I think I'm going to go for my MBA now. And they said, no, you're going to stop. Because I love learning. And I ended up moving to Houston from Boston and really didn't know what I was going to do with myself here, but knew I had to plug in somehow. And all through law school, well, funny, it's funny because I'll go back to marriage and family therapy. I graduated top of my class, but in the mock sessions, our professors would always say, Rania, you're uncomfortable. You're emotional. You're wearing your thoughts on your sleeves. You're making your client. And I'd say, but I want to cry with them. I want to break down with them. I want to, and they'd say, you cannot do that. So I quickly learned, okay, that's not the profession for me. I love it. And I love learning about how people are wired and what they might be thinking and the roots from which they're growing. I think that's so vital. And I loved every day of that master's program. And then I went on to law school. And all through law school, people would say, well, what type of law? Are you going to do family law? I'd say, no, I don't really want to do family law. I'm not sure yet, but I know I'm not going to do crime. That's the one thing I know I'm not going to do. Because if I'm crying when people are sad, I'm going to be a basket case when I'm dealing with murder and rape and everything else. But God has a funny way of orchestrating things. And when I moved to Houston, I really didn't know how I was going to put my history back together here. And a friend of mine said, look in the nonprofit sector. And I did, and I found this organization Crime Stoppers that was looking for an attorney with marketing experience, which is what I was. Mm-hmm. And I went for the interview and I never left. I fell in love with the mission. I've been there ever since.
I can imagine the amount of empathy that may not have served you in some different vocations, how much it really greatly serves you in what you're doing too.
That's actually very true, because mm-hmm. I think if I practice straight law, it's not the time for empathy. It's the time to get whatever right. you need to get right. done. And I clearly wasn't wired. I'm not strong enough to be a therapist. Like I'm not strong enough. And so I was on Great Day Houston a few weeks ago and Deborah Duncan said something and she said, "You really are in the most perfect job for you." And I wanted to burst into tears live on set because it was very meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. I do think I'm in the perfect job for me. And what makes it successful is we have an incredible team. Mm-hmm. We hire just incredible people and I move out of their way. They understand the vision and they run. And I don't get in the way as much as I can not get in the way. Mm-hmm. But it's been fantastic.
It sounds amazing. And I know your focus is this health and wellness of children in a digital world overall. And, you know, Crime Stoppers mission so much integrates that. This book integrates that. And I think you as a person are out there really the champion for people here locally, especially in our community, that look at you for that. That being said, I want to talk about kind of in the book and what really compelled you, you know, to write this book. You told a story to me when we were first starting.
Yes.
And I would love for you to kind of paraphrase that for me about why and what really got you to writing this book.
Well, there's a few things. One, obviously, I'm raising three girls and I'm understanding that technology is ever present. And we are, as an organization, very active in the schools and very active with communities. And so I started to really see that kids were struggling. They were making mistakes. Parents were ready to pull their hair out. They couldn't navigate it. Other experts were saying, well, all kids should just stay offline. And I thought, but that's not realistic. We can talk about the problem all day, but we're not giving realistic solutions. So I started to do my own research just mm-hmm. because that's what we do at Crime Stoppers. Mm-hmm. And this was my personal interest. But through the course of that time, my dad, who's a chemist, he invented many things as a chemist, very, very talented, was also an oil painter. When I'm growing up, I'd say, "Dad, you're such a good painter, and I want to paint like you." He'd say, "Well, maybe you didn't get the gift of painting, but you got the gift of writing, mm-hmm. and I'd love to see you write a book before I die." And that's always sort of been in the back of my mind. Well, flashback, COVID hit, and I wasn't going anywhere. I was working from home and working very hard, by the way, because crime in Houston was crazy during COVID. But I had all this free time, and we knew that my dad was getting sick. And so he was, you know, in his early 80s. And I said, you know, now's the time. I've been researching this topic for 5 years. I have these power tools that I know will help, and I want to write a book before my dad dies. And so I spent a year waking up every day at 5 a.m., writing until about 8 a.m. all Saturdays and Sundays. My kids would bring me coffee, make lunch, and got it published literally within a year. That Thanksgiving, it got published. That Christmas, I gave it to my dad, and he died a few months after. And so it meant a lot personally, mm-hmm. but also I believe so wholeheartedly in the message of the book. We know the online world is dangerous. It is incredibly dangerous. But we have to deal with the reality that our kids are going to be in that space.
That's right.
And these rules we've had of, we'll just keep them off, doesn't work. I'll shield them from it, doesn't work. Well, they're good kids, that doesn't matter. You know, all these things. So I needed to find, for me, a creative way to get kids to buy into their own safety. I say this is like the one area where we almost have to co-parent with our kids. Mm-hmm. Because I said so. I'm your mom. I know it's best. That doesn't work here.
That's right.
They need to have bought into these solutions because they're going to outsmart us, and we need their buy-in.
I want to start with something in the book that I loved, which was your golden rule.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So share with us today what that is.
Well, I have a few. When people ask me, one of the big questions I always get is, you know, when can you get a kid a phone or when should you get a kid a phone? And I always say, look, I have a golden rule for the phone, but also in raising kids in general. It's age, maturity, and honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at my children's age, and let's just say at 10, they all said to me, I want a phone. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Age is 10. Well, let's now have an honest conversation. What does it mean to have a phone? What are you going to face, and how are you going to handle it? And as I go through honest conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm not shielding. I'm not babying. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking the position. I don't want to scare them. No, I'm having honest conversations. I then look at their answers. And based on the maturity of their answers, we're going to come up with a solution here. So my oldest daughter, you know, I'd say, you know, I want a phone, 10 years old. And I'd say, okay, well, let's talk about it. What if a strange number calls you? She said, well, I'm not going to answer a strange number. I said, okay, what if you get texted something inappropriate? Well, I know to delete it. Maybe I'll have to screenshot it, share it with you. Okay, well, what if people email you? Wait, where do you leave your information? What about downloading it? And we went through all these things, and she had a very, very mature answers. So Olivia was given a phone. My middle child, okay, what if somebody calls you? Well, I don't want to be rude, Mom. You know, I have to answer the phone. Well, what if somebody sends you something? Well, I'm going to reply and say, mm-hmm. Don't send me that. That's not very nice. And her answers told me she wasn't mature enough for mm-hmm. the responsibility. So, and I kind of use that golden rule with everything, mm-hmm. whether it's when can we go trick-or-treating alone, when do we drive, when do we bring our friends, when do we do sleepovers. Age, maturity, and honesty has kind of taken me through a lot.
And the concept behind that is that if they're not old enough and mature enough to have the difficult conversation
exactly.
and to be able to meet you where you're trying to go with them,
yes.
then they're not mature enough to have a phone.
It's
or anything else,
it's literally,
for that matter.
Yes, and parents will say, but I don't want to scare them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand.
But the world is a scary place.
And they have to be equipped to deal with what could happen. And mm-hmm. so it's like saying, I don't want my child to ever learn an active shooter drill because I don't want them to be scared. But that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. What if there's an active shooter? Probably won't be, mm-hmm. right? Statistically, mm-hmm. it's not
That's
likely.
Right.
But you don't want them to be the only ones that are paralyzed by fear, panic, a complete lack of understanding of what to do. You want them to say, I can't believe this is unbelievable, but I know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get out there and I'm going to get out safely. So it's the same concept.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely. And I look at it also as driving a car,
yeah.
you know, wearing a seatbelt, things like that. This is how life is.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to understand and know. And being able to talk to your children is so imperative.
Yes.
And being able to recognize the big feelings they may have and validate those feelings, but be able to get your point across that this is something that it's serious. It requires a conversation that is pointed and purposeful with intent to be able to get to a place of mutual understanding.
And I had one mom recently say to me, I'm understanding this now, but I don't know how to talk about it, and I don't know what to say. And
mm-hmm.
that's partially why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was pregnant, there was the What to Expect When You're Expecting book,
mm-hmm.
and we all would go to like, what happens at 3 months? Okay, well, now I'm nauseous at 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this as the What to Expect When You're Parenting Through Technology.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to it as a guide. It has family conversations, plans. You can look up specific issues. You can read the whole thing. You can do whatever, but you can also outsource this. My point is, if you don't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
Crime Stoppers will step in. We have free classes on these topics. Get the book. Get other books. There's a lot of people out there trying to help parents navigate this
mm-hmm.
space.
Agree. And on that note, with a parent asking you what to do, I read in the book, I think it was chapter maybe 11, you had the step-by-step guide.
Mm.
And it was really showing an action plan of how a family can come together and work through addressing these concerns.
Yeah, and a lot of it starts with knowing family values.
Mm-hmm.
What are the principles your family's built on? What do you expect as a family? I talk about brand and digital fingerprint, which is
mm-hmm.
weird. These are conversations parents have never had with their children. What do you mean brand? Well, everything you do online, every place you go online, every like, every comment, every share, it's all leaving your little digital fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's branding you, whether you like it or not. And you can't take that stuff away once you put it out there. What are your goals? What are the rules? What are the expectations? And walking through this kind of breaks it down in bite-sized chunks
mm-hmm.
that parents and kids can navigate. Because I'm not starting with, well, you can't be online. Well, if I start there, your kids are not going to listen.
That's right.
They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we start with, we want you there, we know you're going to be there, we want you there safely,
mm-hmm.
then you kind of get some interest. And it's funny when I talk to kids and I go through my four power tools, and the last one is, very strangely, I want every kid to post like a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at me like, this crazy woman's finally interesting. You know, like, finally, this woman is interesting.
Now you're speaking my language.
Now
that's
you're speaking
why.
My language
yeah.
Because it literally is
that's right.
speaking
that's
their
what
language.
It is.
And then when I explain what I mean by that, they say, oh, okay, I get it. I get what you're saying, and it makes sense. And actually, the people I admire most, which is another issue,
well, we can talk about that
a whole episode
on that, but yes.
You know, how much our kids admire influencers
That's right.
or celebrities. But
mm-hmm.
but the point is, they'll say, wait, now that you mention it, I guess you're right. Taylor Swift or whomever
mm-hmm. pick,
isn't really sharing their home location, and they're not on Snap Map. And they're not telling you where they are 24 hours a day. And I can't even, I don't see their license plate number when they post. They might share a car, but it's the side of you. And kids get it. Well, fine, post like they do. Protect your identity. Protect your location. And I love when kids will say, well, what about the Kardashians? They post in real time all the time. I say, but they also walk around with security. Mm-hmm. And you don't.
That's right.
So be, you want to get security teams and post in real time? Fine. But you don't have security, so don't do it. Mm-hmm. But they understand it.
Well, you've broken it down in a way that they can understand it.
Yes.
And like we said, you're speaking their language. And also your delivery is in a way that's very pragmatic. And it's, to me, that's part of what really allows them to absorb it in that way. Because I think oftentimes we also underestimate our children.
Yes.
We don't give them enough credit for their ability to conceptualize. Mm-hmm. And they really can do that. Although they're not an adult, they're not neurobiologically able to function as adult until they're about 25.
Right.
You know, we know the prefrontal cortex of the brain isn't there yet.
Yes.
But even at a young age, they get a lot more than we give them credit for.
That's so
from the ability to understand, oh, mom's concerned, dad is worried. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
You're going to get much further with that than you are with the no, you can't do it.
Right. And what's so interesting about the online space is it's dad's concerned and mom's worried. But dad and mom also come to me and say, hey, honey, can you sign into Hulu? I don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And can you set up our computers at home? Because we don't know how to do it.
Right.
And do we have a public server or a private server? Honey, can you set up the server? So you combine mom and dad with worried about a space they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really need to take their concerns seriously because I'm the expert as a kid in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to flip it as, we know we don't know everything about this space, but we're reading the news. We know about trafficking. We know about exploitation. We know about blackmail. We know about your ability to buy pills online. We know that they can be laced with drugs. We know about a bunch of things, that you're the number one target of identity theft in the home. You know, we can talk about these real fears and say, how do we get to a solution that we all agree with?
Mm-hmm.
Because we care about you in and outside of this space.
Yes. And, you know, here at Pinkerton Psychotherapy, we see a lot of clients, you know, that come in, children who come in facing the exact things you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that parents who are in denial to think that doesn't happen, who they don't recognize the impact of cyberbullying, they don't recognize the impact of the availability and accessibility of drugs, they don't recognize how easy it is for a child to get groomed, I think are really missing the boat. And I wish more people understood that. And here's this great big step you've made in being able to educate in the way you do, because I see it all the time, and all
sure
the therapists here do.
You see, like, addiction to gambling, addiction to technology, addiction to pornography. We're seeing at Crime Stoppers teen dating violence because you have these young boys who've been consuming pornography before they've turned 10. And now they're in the dating world and they've been consuming pornography for maybe 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. So their expectations in a relationship are very aggressive.
That's right.
So
it's been normalized too.
It's been normalized.
And they're desensitized. And I almost feel like there's a numbing that happens with each generation. I see children becoming more numb to things that I want them to be actually, you know, responsive to.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps happening. And that's the slope that where we're going.
And it's like, where do we end then?
It's terrifying.
I'm waiting for the generation, like, which generation says, wait a minute, we've crossed too many lines and we're going back a little. I don't know.
I'm not sure that that's going to happen. So I think what you're doing, you know, is the change. It's the change that is going to have to happen. It's the education. It's the impact. It's the consistent messages.
That's what, you know, Crime Stoppers is very big on. And part of the reason I fell in love with it is we are constantly learning, studying, boots on the ground. You know, we're getting our hands dirty with the content, with the issues, with the concerns, with the rising trends. You know, I was just speaking to a group of elderly people about the impact of voice cloning and how technology can be used to scam the elderly. And a part of me sometimes thinks, well, everybody knows this now, but then you go and talk to them and they have no idea. And so if you can share information and mitigate so many different crimes, because people say, wait a minute, I heard about this. Like, no, I'm not going to fall for that. That's those, you know, Crime Stoppers is able to take huge steps for the community that
way. It's wonderful. I wanted to talk about, too, the myths that you mentioned. And I read in the book the different myths, but I think those are so important because that's the resounding, you know, conversation that happens. The idea is about, you know, I already follow my kids' accounts.
Yeah.
They're fine. Or, you know, my kid, you know, I want to respect their privacy.
Oh.
That one's huge, too. And we have parents that present that way here, too. I know there's something going on with my child, but I don't want to look in their phone. I know something's a concern, but I don't want to invade their privacy. You know, tell us what you say about that.
Well, privacy is a big one for me because mm-hmm. I always say if your kid would like privacy, that's fine. Get them a diary from 1985. Mm-hmm. Have them write whatever they want in it, mm-hmm. anything they want, and slide it under a bed and don't open it.
That's right.
But when they're communicating on the world wide web, where literally the world has access to them, mm-hmm. that is not a place for them to expect privacy or for you to give them privacy, because the follow-up to that is a predator's greatest gift is a child that's navigating the space alone, mm-hmm. either uninformed, uneducated, or truly alone, no parental oversight. That is a gift to a predator. Well, I don't want that for any of our kids. So I think what we have to tell our children is we want to respect your privacy. There's an outlet for you to have a private notebook, a private whatever, we won't open it. But where you're discussing and engaging online, we're going to be in that space. And additional myths come up with parents say, but I have good kids. I literally moved to this part of town. So they'd be at this specific public school, or we went to this specific private school, or they have mm-hmm. great friends. None of that matters online.
That's right.
None of it. Dr. Laura Berman and Sam Chapman, I was blessed to meet them, although the circumstances under which I've met them were horrible. They lost their son, Sammy, because he purchased a pill online, and it was laced with fentanyl, and it killed him. It's poisoned
tragic.
Him. He, you know, first media said he overdosed on drugs. No, that wasn't the case. But Dr. Berman, when I first talked to her, she said, you know, I never imagined that this is what our kids were facing online. Mm-hmm. I assumed, you know, maybe hate speech and, you know, aspects of pornography, but that predators were online, traffickers, pill pushers, drug dealers, marketing too, mm-hmm. like literally looking for our children as a marketing target audience. That's unbelievable. And that's a reality.
And it happens within seconds.
Yes.
I've watched so many different informational videos and things from a clinical standpoint, too, about how quickly it happens.
Yeah.
That it's within moments.
Yes.
That it's the moment that a child goes online. It can be tracked mm-hmm. how quickly someone mm-hmm. is watching and someone is attempting to make contact. And grooming begins. And the aspect of here I go, this is my next victim.
The fact that it happens so quickly is one of the things I feel parents really overlook. This notion of, but I'm not letting them have an account on social media, or I don't get them a phone. And my follow-up question to that is always, well, do they have an iPad? And it's usually, oh yeah, they've had an iPad mm-hmm. since first grade. Well,
right.
Or I'm not going to get them a phone. I say, well, do they have a gaming console? Oh, of course they have a game. Well, that's mm-hmm. the number one way boys can access
right.
pornography in mm-hmm. elementary school and middle school. So they're going to have access. But the second thing is the amount of time, to your point. A minute, less than mm-hmm. a minute, mm-hmm. is all a predator needs to start planting those seeds. And they'll find a way to continue with a child that they've identified that they want
yes.
to engage with.
And for the older kids, when we're talking about the teens, which is where I see in my practice the grooming, the sex trafficking, that part of it even goes so much bigger
yeah.
as well. And I feel like that's even such a harder one. That's
it's
harder
so hard.
Because teens deal with such a bigger set of issues
mm-hmm.
than the younger children do.
Yes.
They're trying to fit in
mm-hmm.
and they desperately want to be liked
yes.
and loved. And
yes.
and sex and the ideas of that desire gets very convoluted in a
yes.
teen's mind.
Yeah.
You know?
And to your point, you know, when you think of the biology of a young teen, hormonal changes, puberty, the prefrontal cortex, the imbalance of risk is so much more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
reward,
exciting.
Getting the reward is so appealing. Maybe feeling insecure, even the prettiest, most popular kids will feel insecure because that's biology.
Mm-hmm.
And here somebody is pouring into me and invest in building me up. Needing to be liked. You know, I read far too many studies which break my heart, but kids at that period interfacing with technology want to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
They want to trend. They want to be liked online. If they're gaming, they want to what's called level up. They
yes.
want to achieve something, and that's wired into them. There was a study out of the UK that looked at Kylie Jenner and called it, I believe it was the Kylie, it wasn't the Kardashian effect, I believe it was the Kylie Jenner effect, where girls said, you know, instead of getting dressed in the morning, teens, because they want to look good for the person they have a crush on at school, they don't care about that anymore. They get dressed to take selfies
mm-hmm.
and see which looks and things trend. And so when you're dealing with all of that, you have to get to the bottom of it and kind of talk to kids about what are your values. I'm not telling you not to engage online, but why are you there? Let's really look at why. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you are popular and that's the thing to do. Maybe you're a star athlete and you need the eyeballs because you want a scholarship to college. It's all okay. Why are you there? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to get out of this space? And then let's talk about who is consuming, not whether it's your desire to be consumed, but let's just focus. Let's take a step back. Who's consuming the content and what mm-hmm. do they want for you? Do they want to lift you up or do they want to tear you down because you're a commodity, you're a person they can bully, they can get money out of, they can extort. And that kids find value in those conversations. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. really do.
Yes. Tell me about the aspect of, I know you've done work where you work with these people that have become sex trafficked and the mm-hmm. recovery and getting out of that. You know, that environment.
It's the hardest part for me to understand as well. And I know you see this. And Jennifer Homan, who works, is on our board and mm-hmm. has been co-hosting the podcast with me. One of the things I always say to her is, Jen, these girls, and predominantly girls, we know boys too, but these girls who are rescued from the life, mm-hmm. why is the withdrawal so hard for them? Mm-hmm. Why is there so much that has to be done to keep them from going back? And you talk about that shattered person. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're so broken down that almost the safest place for them to be is back in that safe exploitation because mm-hmm. they don't know how to react
right.
or live. So talking to that community, finding resources, Houston 20 has done such an incredible job in other nonprofits with rebuilding these victims and survivors mm-hmm. and giving them hope. And we want to throw ourselves into that as well. At Crime Stoppers, we want to, one, identify the people at risk. We want the community to step in and thwart. We want to use our tip line to track the rings and the criminals and bring them to justice and dismantle them. But we also want to find a way for integration, for survivors to have a place to stand up and go and say, well, mm-hmm. I can find a place to live. Someone who'll employ me, mm-hmm. Remove tattoos or scars, or exonerate my record, get me the therapy I need, because those things are so unbelievably important. The therapy.
We see that a lot. We're usually, I feel like, on the tail end. That's the last thing that I feel like someone comes to do. And it is so amazing to watch that transformation that does happen when they begin to heal.
I can't imagine what mm-hmm. that's like for you.
Mm-hmm. It's
to see it from start to finish.
So I feel like a lot of times we see here is parents will not have this idea that it's possible that I live in a great neighborhood or I live in a community and my children doesn't have access to that or they're not going to be around that. And I just don't think they could be any more wrong.
Yeah. It's interesting. We just had a podcast following this case out of Michigan and another case of two young boys who took their own life after being sextorted. And part of the response was these were good kids in a good neighborhood, mm-hmm. good families, successful, college, most likely on track for college acceptance, actually scholarships. Mm-hmm. And what happened? And what we are failing to understand is there are rings of criminals, these particular cases tied to West Africa, where there are networks that target kids in good areas, mm-hmm. performing well at school, who maybe are in line for scholarships because they have so much to lose. Mm-hmm. These kids have so much to lose. And these rings target tens, if not hundreds of children at the same time across the country mm-hmm. to get bites. Who can we finally break down to extort? And why? Because if they get $200 a night and they're extorting 10 kids, mm-hmm. They're it's so profitable for them. Mm-hmm. The average person, and we just looking at a case out of Chad, they get Nigeria, they make $60 a month. Mm-hmm. These guys are making $200 a night per child.
Unbelievable.
So they want the wealthy child. Mm-hmm. They want the kid that has a lot to lose. Mm-hmm. The scholar who's going to whatever school on a football scholarship mm-hmm. or an academic scholarship, because that child's going to feel so trapped. Mm-hmm. And have potentially access to money. It's very, very, very frightening. The other thing I'll add when I talk to kids is, you know, how do you think these guys find you? Mm-hmm. Well, Snapchat. You have your map open. They can see exactly where you live. They can figure out what zip codes are affluent. They can figure out what school you go to because you should.
It's not rocket science. It's right there.
It's right there. And so they know that you're the star track runner, football player, cheerleader, chess player, math scholar, because we all post about it.
Right.
We make it easy.
It's spoon feeding, basically.
Yeah.
And so I agree. People have to be so careful. I love how much you educate. I love the action plan. And I also really loved the dictionary you have about what do the emojis stand for? What is the slang? Because so many parents don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, we have parents that come here that seek help just for parenting resources.
Yeah.
I see something wrong with my teen. I don't know what's going on. Can you talk to my teen? Can you talk to me? Can you work with that and then educate me? And I thought this is something I actually want to be able to share with some parents,
so
because
glad.
I haven't seen it such a concise list in a while that you really do touch on, especially the ones that kids just really don't want their parents to know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And there are innocent emojis and acronyms, and there are some that are really bad. And part of the reason I started researching this was back in 2015, we had Rula and Ryan mm-hmm. from Caribbean.
Yes, of course.
And they were our celebrity co-hosts at a school in the Fort Bend area. And it was a fourth grade. We had all the fourth grade classes together in the auditorium. And we gave Rula and Ryan a script. And, you know, how many of you kids are on this app? Yeah, me. Oh, no, that's where our parents are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we asked this one about Kick. And all the kids raised their hand. And the parents were at the left and right of the room. And they were like, what is Kick? What are mm-hmm. our kids? What is... So I realized, like, our kids are being raised in a different world, a world we don't know.
That's right.
And then we start to study how they speak. And it's acronyms, ASL, age, sex, location, KMS, kill myself. Mm-hmm. The bus, you know, I'm looking for pills. The gas tank, I'm on something. Cherries, pasta, nudes means nude photos. Like, they're speaking a different language.
Mm-hmm.
They're being raised in a different world. And they're speaking a different language. So what are we going to do? So that's why I felt like it was important to touch on those things.
And you do so very well. You know, I've added your book. It's been in our list actually for a while, but we have a checkout book that we give to a checkout list of books we give to parents, you know, as resources for different presenting concerns. And, you know, yours is the one that if you need to understand what's happening online, this is where you need to look.
Thank you.
And I just think it's so, so helpful to have and such an amazing book. I'm really appreciate you talking to us about that and about everything that you have going on. And I like to always kind of give an opportunity to say, is there anything else you want to give that you want to tell, if this last impactful that you want to tell this audience about what they need to know, you know, your last words here that will resonate?
I would say the biggest thing we can do today, like if you're going to only have one conversation with your children today about online safety, I hope it's this: no matter what they do online, intentional, unintentional, good or bad, that it is never worth them taking their own lives, because we are seeing far too many kids feel like they've backed themselves in a corner, there's nowhere else to go, and they're too ashamed or too afraid to tell an adult. The one message is, we don't care what you did. We need you here. You are so valuable. And we will get you through this. And we have tools to get you through this. Tools for technology, tools with law enforcement, and you are never in trouble. We will get you through it. Crime Stoppers will be the backbone. If you don't want to tell your parents, you can call us. You can call me. But I think ultimately parents need to be telling their kids that.
It's such a powerful message. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you were here today. I want to give everybody the information about how to find you. So social handles, let's see, we've got for Instagram, Crime Stoppers of Houston, and also the Rania Report. Same thing on Twitter, Crime Stop Hugh, and then the Rania Report. And then on Facebook, Crime Stoppers of Houston, the Rania Report with Rania Mancarius, and then website, crime-stoppers.org, right?
Yes.
And then your book, I know, is available on Amazon.
Yes.
And we'll include some links in our show notes.
Thank you. Thank
and then
you.
Lastly, I always have a question that I want to ask you, and it's not from me. It's from a prior guest. So the last guest here, she asked, what would you tell your 5-year-old self? If you could go back, what kind of message or what would you want your 5-year-old self to know?
It's such a great question. I would say the one thing that comes to mind is, don't let fear shape your decisions. There have been a few moments in my life where fear, I look back and I say, wow, that decision was literally made out of fear to do or not do something. And I wish I hadn't done that.
I love that.
So I would tell my five-year-old self, don't let yourself do
that. That's great. That's wonderful. Yes. All right. What question would you like to leave for one of my future guests?
So I guess now that I've been asked, I'll say what fear, if you had to list out your fears, mm-hmm. what would you say are your current fears and are they holding you back from something?
Okay. Well, we will see what that answer is with a future guest. Once again, thank you so much, Rania, for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. This was great. Thank you.
Absolutely.